Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and Family Talk, of course, is the listener-supported broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Today's broadcast features Pastor Jack Graham of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. Dr. Tim Clinton sat down with Dr. Graham at the 2021 National Religious Broadcasters Convention to discuss his book called Reignite, Fresh Focus for Enduring Faith. Let's listen to their conversation right now.
Dr. Graham, thank you for stopping by Family Talk. It's such a delight to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Jack, quite a storied life as a pastor. The great Prestonwood Church, been there. It's absolutely stunning. One of the nation's largest and most dynamic congregations. I think you got nearly 50,000 members, radio ministry, prolific author. You served as the honorary chairman for the National Day of Prayer, president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a while. Jack, just amazing. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on ministry and what God has been doing and is doing.
Yep. I always say there's never been a better time, and for us here in this country, a better place to preach the gospel than right now. People are finding themselves empty and restless and often hopeless, and we come with this message of life and truth and the Word of God and grace and truth as Jesus teaches us to live out this gospel and to proclaim this gospel. So, you know, I've never been more encouraged, even though we're coming out of a very rough season, obviously, in the world, in the country. And yet I've never been more encouraged. And we're seeing things in terms of sparks of revival in our church that we haven't seen in a while. We're at a better place right now with our church than we've been maybe in the last two or three years or more.
So encouraging.
For example, in the last 8 days, we've baptized over 300 people, just brand new believers. Amen. Many of these are students and young people. It was spontaneous to some degree, camp, student camp. But the fact is God's people and the core of God's people are coming back. They're coming back strong. They're excited. They're more engaged than I've seen the church in a long time. I truly am encouraged. That's not hype. And it is truly the hope that we have.
Jack, you're such a great preacher. Dr. Dobson and I have talked many times about you and your voice. You challenge people to pursue the Word of God. To be relentless. What I love is you're authentic too. Your new work, Reignite, a fresh focus for an enduring faith, though, takes a little bit of a turn. You're willing to step into a very vulnerable position and share about a season of darkness. And it reminds me, Jack, just simply of this: storms, challenges, times of darkness come to all of us. And yeah, often we're not ready for them, and they throw us. I can't help but think of the pandemic, the lockdowns, the racial trauma, the election mess, the race for the vaccine, everything. It's thank God we're coming out of that other side of that. But Jack, it's devastated a lot of people. Mental health issues are soaring. We had a crisis. Now we have a mental health disaster on our hands. And people are reeling, and they need a word of hope and encouragement. Job 5:7, Job 14:1, man who's born of woman is but a few days, and their lives are often full of trouble. Your thoughts, Jack, about those times of darkness, those moments that spin us.
We need a theology of suffering that comes from the Bible. And Christianity is not immunity from struggles, from suffering, from pain. As you have said very eloquently, the struggle is real and is real for all of us. And I didn't really intend in this book, Reignite, to talk this much about my own personal struggle 12 years ago with anxiety and depression. But this will forever be, to me, my COVID book, as I was seeing this medical pandemic going on and then this mental health pandemic increasing. It just exposed the underneath the struggles that people were experiencing already. Many who know God and know Christ, and many, of course, who do not know Christ. But I really wanted to write a book about endurance, and that's the subtitle, Enduring Faith. And the scripture says that you must have endurance, and there's perseverance and resilience. And that's what I wanted this book to be about. And at some level, I wanted it to be my story now as a veteran believer. I've hit my 3 score in 10. I'm excited about life. I'm healthy, still pastoring, still going strong. But it does give you pause when you hit that number. So now here in my 70th year, starting my eighth decade of life, I wanted to tell my story at some level about the faithfulness of God and the essentials of Christian living and how to keep going. How can you keep trekking with the Lord for many years? Yeah. We've seen a lot of blowouts, including pastors, along the way, and dropouts and all the rest, burnouts. And I wanted to talk about those basics, those essentials for whether you're a veteran, long-term believer, or a new Christian, that it would encourage you to endure. But in the midst of that, I felt impressed to tell my story that in 2009, I had a cancer surgery, prostate cancer. I got that call, and I was ready for that. I was okay with that. I didn't love the idea that I was having surgery, but I went in confident and believing that I would be just fine. But when I came out, I was back in the pulpit 11 days after this major surgery, which was not smart. Don't do that. I want to go back and just say, if you're a man over 40, you need to get your PSA checked, because prostate cancer is one of the most curable of cancers, and it's very important that men, especially if you have a family history, but especially anyway if you're over 40. But when I got out, the next thing I know, I wasn't sleeping, and anxiety began to creep in. I kind of identified it as a PTSD, a post-traumatic stress. I'd never had surgery. I'd never had a cold. I mean, I like kill germs. I've got this great immune system. So now I've got cancer, and they're saying, well, maybe we got it all, maybe we didn't. And the next thing I know, I'm in darkness.
So you were talking in the book about how the anxiety kept building in, even to a point where you were sensing or thinking you were having panic attacks.
To this day, I don't know how to describe it. Again, I went to a counselor, which I encourage people to do. I got therapy ultimately. But I do think they described it as kind of a, well, to put it in a succinct term, my guy said to me, he said, you know, you've been hit by a Mack truck and you've been left in the ditch. Yeah. That was a pretty good description for me. I just couldn't get going. I mean, depression, anxiety, there are a lot of symptoms with it, including physical symptoms. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't concentrate. Just all those things that I'd never experienced in my life, and that was part of it. I think if it ever happened again, I believe if it ever happened again, I would be better prepared to deal with it. But it was a really tough thing for me and for our family. And
there's something about all of us. We try to think, hey, we're tough.
Yeah, I wanted to man up.
Yeah, or, hey, we're going to get through it. And even more than that, we're going to white knuckle it. I mean, it's not going to faze me. But you know what often comes with anxiety is depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bible says anxiety produces depression.
You bet.
So, I mean, it's almost, you as a counselor, a professional know this, it's like God made us so that if you're revving your system, rev, you're running your system so hard, God baked it into us that, you know, your system will slow you down. It'll stop you from just spinning out of control.
Yes,
and that's depression. And so I didn't like that feeling either. But
and then what happens is when you get into that kind of funk, if you will, you tend to disengage. I like to think of
isolate.
Depression, the theory of depression is a theory of disengagement. Mm-hmm. You pull back to get control.
Which is the last thing you need to do.
Yeah, when you pull back to get control, you're cutting off all the things that basically give you life, which only makes it even more compounded and more difficult.
Yeah.
Jack, in the book, and I thought this was really brilliant, I liked how you talked about the sources of stress. Stop for a moment and look around you at what's happening. You wrote these words, change can bring it. Conflict can bring it. Criticism can bring it. Crisis in life.
And my son Jason, who's here with us right now today, said, children. Children can stretch you. I said, well,
there's another
know.
C.
That's another C.
Jack, it's like everybody in life have what we call our horizontal stressors. I mean, that's just the ebb and flow of life. We're going to bump into things and it's going to throw us. Everybody gets the blues, but depression goes deeper.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's where you get stuck. And then the horrifying thing is when you have these, we call them vertical stressors, these things that drop in on us. You get the phone call, and it's the C word.
Mm-hmm.
And these cancer. Bombs, when they
There's
go off,
another stressor.
And when you get hit by those are the things. And I think people don't often understand the level of stress they're under,
mm-hmm.
and how potentially dangerous it is when they get hit.
Yep. And unfortunately, through the years in the church, you didn't want to admit that in some way you were weak, that somehow you were not able to handle that stress or that anxiety, the pressure that you were feeling. And frankly, there was a generation of Christians that grew up not so long ago that the last place you would mention you were depressed would be among your Christian friends.
Oh, I know.
You know, and this is one of the things you're doing and raising awareness, just like we're raising awareness to prostate cancer, we're raising awareness to breast cancer and all these awareness issues. We should raise the awareness among Christians, and that this is real. And if you think that somehow it's all spiritual, it's not all spiritual. My prayer life was the best I knew how up to date. My faith was strong going in. Hmm. God was blessing our lives, but I was hit by this out of nowhere, like a Mack truck hitting me, leaving me. And the thing is, it lies to you. The other thing about depression that I discovered, it lies to you with things like, you're never going to get better. You used the word stuck a moment ago.
Yeah.
You're stuck like this. And I began to think, my ministry is over. I mean, I'm never going to be the same. I'm never going to get through this. It's never going to change. It's like the storm rolls in, the lightning, the thunder's there, and it's never leaving. And that's a lie. Now, there are people who suffer chronic, long-term depressive illnesses, and we know that. Mine was episodic due to a major stress in life, and much of it, I don't know how much, but a lot of people, that's the kind of depression, anxiety they have. But we did get through it. And, you know, I had a good friend of mine tell me, Jack, there's never been a sunset that there's not been a sunrise. And that simple little thing, almost simplistic thing, I can't tell you how much that encouraged me. I kept asking Deb, my wife, and God bless her because she walked with me. She had never seen me in this state at all. But I kept asking, am I going to be okay? I must have asked her 100 times, am I going to be okay? Because I kept thinking, I'm not going to be okay. And just to hear those simple words, you're going to be okay, that really helped get me through another day. And then eventually for me, I can only talk about me, it was like the clouds just went away. It just gradually, and the storm left. And I realized, hey, I hadn't thought about this in days. You know, when you're in the middle of one of these things, it's all you can think about. Your mind's revving, your mind, and you're thinking. And then one day you realize, I hadn't thought about that in days. And then it becomes weeks and months. And this is helping somebody right now, because I'm just telling you, there are people who think, I'm forever like this. It's never going to change. It's ruining my life, my marriage, my career, and everything. But there's never been a sunset that there hasn't been a sunrise, and that's especially true for a Christian.
You're listening to Family Talk, a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, your host. Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Jack Graham. Brand new work called Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith. Pastor Graham is also a great leader of our day, the great Prestonwood Church in Plano, Texas, a good friend of the ministry, and a delightful conversation. Jack, I want to stay with the thought life piece just for a moment, because what happens is the negativity begins to consume you. And we're learning now that the brain begins to spin. And there's a word that we're talking about. It's called rumination. You begin to dwell on these things.
I learned that word well during my time.
Yeah, Jack, help us understand that you're right. You've got to reframe, because I'm hearing you say, Tim, it's like I had a reset in my mindset. I had a reset. I had a reframe.
Yeah.
Getting out of that funk is tough, though.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing in some ways that you can do to force your way out, to push your way out. If I could have changed it with positive thinking, it would have happened in 30 seconds. Because, yes, there was a lot of negativity and there was fear. And, part of my fear was the cancer. Is it coming back? Am I gonna die of this? I was face to face with mortality for the first time in my life, as far as I knew. So in one way, you certainly cannot just by good thoughts change it. Your body has to change. Your brain has to change. That's why, and I'm open about this in the book, I needed some balance. I went to therapy. I took medication. I hated the idea of doing that, but there are Christians who say you should never take medication for mental health issues. Just, read your Bible and pray more. And And I believe that's wrong. My friend Tommy Nelson, who's a wonderful pastor here in North Texas, and he actually has chronic. He's very open about this chronic.
I've interviewed Tommy many times.
So he's talking about taking medication. He said, I got to the point I would have taken rat dung if it had made me feel better, you know?
Because why? You're so desperate.
Yeah.
You need something. And you know what, Jack? We're in such a different day now when it comes to medications. A lot of people think if you take it, it puts you in a stupor, you know, you get weird. No, actually, it helps clean out. Brings clarity if you're on the right thing. Management is really important, medical management.
Sure.
But Jack, you're right. It can be a real gift. Let's stay with this just for a moment, because often people think their thoughts are who they are. And I want to be careful here, because we know it's the renewing of our minds that has to take place. But a lot of people think that if you think a negative thought, that's who you are. And that is what we're trying to get rid of. We've got to replace that stinking thinking, those negative thoughts, because everybody has crazy thoughts every now and then. It's, am I living in that or not? And can I reframe it or not? You help us in the book, and you said this was about a 12-month journey, that time can become a friend. Mm-hmm. Truth is a friend. Thankfulness is a friend here. The right thoughts are a friend. And you use the word therapy. You know me, I'm a big proponent of people seeking out mental health care, that having someone come alongside of you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about your four pillars next here in a moment. But those T's I thought were really, really insightful.
Yeah, and that's what I hung the first 60 pages of the book is about my story. I don't want, you know, if you're going to pick up this book, if you want to read this book, it is my story. I open up. I tell the truth about what happened to me, because God is the God of all comfort, and with the comfort that we are comforted, we can comfort others. And I'm a better pastor, I'm a better minister, because now, you know, somebody tells me they're depressed, I know what that feels like. And there might have been a time in my life, as a young pastor especially, who didn't understand these things, where if somebody told me they were depressed, I would have said, well, get over it. You know, get yourself back up. You know, get up, get moving. And there is value in getting up and getting moving and getting exercise.
But if you're really depressed, it's tough to get out of the bed.
It is, because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
I was. And I'm sure everybody
consume. You're not sleeping.
You're not sleeping
too much or whatever.
You know, they torture people with sleeplessness.
Yeah.
And it's torturous. And I wasn't sleeping for a long time. So for me, it was exchanging lies for truth. And I talk about that in the book a lot, that Satan lies. You lie to yourself. And that's why you have to be in the truth, in the word. And I truly can say all those promises of God, I could barely, one thing that happens to you in depression, you can't concentrate very well. Reading your Bible, reading anything becomes very hard. But I had memorized a lot of scriptures in my life. And those scriptures were with me. And
That's the truth of God,
which transforms and
renews the
mind.
Spinning those thoughts. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:8, those things that are lovely, just, of good report, and so much more. Think on those things.
And meditation.
Thought stopping, thought replacement
becomes
so important. Men in particular seem to have a real problem. I saw a title of a book years ago on male depression. This was the title. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we lock into that abyss alone.
Mm-hmm.
And such a gift for men that in this, I've got to start grinding, if you will, in that direction. Men want a plan. They need instruction. Tell me what to do. God, help me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one thing I've also read about men in particular, one of the biggest signs or symptoms of depression in men, I believe Archibald Hart especially focuses on this, is anger. And a lot of the anger you see in particular with men is really a mask for depression. And, of course, I've also heard you could tell us that depression is anger turned inward.
Anger turned inward.
You know, it's just that seething rage that is in, and ultimately your system shuts down, your brain shuts down.
I feel like I can't do anything.
Yeah. But we just want to keep it to ourselves. I did, and I'm now saying, look, I want you to know what happened to me, because if it happened to me, it could happen to you, and it's the common cold, depression, mental health issues.
Yes.
And most people battle it in some way or another. And great people in life have supported it. Go back to the Bible. Start with Moses, who was so upset, so stressed with the children of Israel that he prayed to die. He said, it's enough. I don't want to live anymore. Same thing happened to Jonah. He'd been in a great revival experience with Jonah. He was mad at God. His problem was an anger problem. And he said, just take my life. I'm done. go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was so stressed, bearing the sins of the world, drinking the cup of wrath, that his very blood vessels, the capillaries of his skin burst, and he was oozing out blood under this extreme stress. So no one is immune. Great people like, you know, Churchill and Abraham Lincoln, the great British preacher, perhaps the greatest preacher since Paul, Luther. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Luther, another one, all battled episodes of depression. It is the human condition. And back to where we started, suffering and a theology of suffering and how to suffer and do it well is very important for every Christian.
Jack, let's close this way. The heart of your book, it's about returning to God's word,
yeah,
flooding your mind with that. It's about prayer. It's about the church. I call it people fuel. We need each other more, not less.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, it's about a victory mindset. You challenge us to grow in Christ and then to go with God. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, God wants to use your story.
Yeah, evangelism and witnessing and sharing your faith.
People are going to hit the wall. Some listening right now are there. Now, they've turned this way up, and they're crying out to God, please help me in my moment. Your closing thought in that season of their life.
When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and mental health issues can feel like the valley of shadow of death.
Yeah, they can.
I felt like at times a dead man walking, and it was darkness begging for light. You're in the darkness, whether it's grief, whether it's loneliness, whether it's depression, anxiety, all these issues that we face, it's a valley. But the promise of the 23rd Psalm, and really the promise of our shepherd, is that not only do you go in it, but you go through it. And I did pray along the way, Lord, don't let me just go through this. Help me to grow through this. Help me to experience your presence like never before. And I find in the 23rd Psalm, when David's talking there, he's first talking about the Lord. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the still waters. He's talking in the third person about God, about the greatness of God, the shepherd who cares for us. But when he gets in the valley, something changes. And he stops talking about the Lord and starts talking to the Lord. He says, your rod and your staff is with me. Your presence is in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. It's now you. And I know this for me, God became so real and so ever-present in the darkest hour. And I've seen that as a pastor. I've now experienced it as a pastor. So for that person right now that you find yourself in a deep, dark valley
place,
and it feels really bad, it's one of the worst feelings I've ever experienced, then just know, you're there for a season, and the shepherd is leading you through. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You'll get through this. Well, Dr. Jack Graham, on behalf of Dr. Dobson and his wife Shirley, who have deep love for you, their family, the entire team, we love and appreciate you and salute this great new work. What a gift to the church.
Thank you.
To us all.
Thank you. Well, God reignited my life. As I said, I'm on fire. That was 12 years ago. I'm cancer-free. That's great news. And it's like those disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. It became a road of hope when Jesus was with them. And then they ultimately said, the risen Christ gave them this hope. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we walk with him in the way? And so it's ultimately, let your heart ignite again. Be on fire again. If you feel burned out, broken, hurt, wounded, seek the risen Christ, and ultimately you will burn again.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, that was an important and vulnerable conversation with Pastor Jack Graham on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you missed any part of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to learn more about Pastor Graham or his book, Reignite, Fresh Focus for Enduring Faith, visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Or you can give us a call. Our toll-free number is 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for inviting Family Talk into your home, your car, or wherever else you might listen to, or whichever device you listen to us on. From all of us here at the JDFI, God's blessings to you and your family. Have a great weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. Before we end this program, I want to remind you that right now is a great time to partner with us at James Dobson Family Institute. Every dollar you give will be doubled thanks to a very generous matching grant. This match will stay in place until we've hit our target. I hope you will stand with us in our fight for marriages and families. If you are able to support us, know that any amount that you give will have a major impact on the people that we're able to reach. Learn how you can partner with us and participate by going to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825.